Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Sullis. Finish school and not sure what's next? Explore further education and training options at thisisfet.ie.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1.
Has there ever been a more evocative movie theme than The Godfather? Because it instantly transports you to Italian America, to the 1950s, to New York, and it's quite sinister as well. That's what Brian Redden and Larry Donnelly are here today to talk about, the sinister, the romantic, the intriguing genre of mafia films. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
What do you feel now when you hear that?
I love it, because I love The Godfather. And you're right, it's a beautiful, beautiful piece of music, and it's kind of just synonymous with gangsters now and the whole gangster mafia experience in America. But it's great, it's brilliant, very evocative.
So you're a fan of the genre, and do you call it a genre, the mafia
absolutely,
movies?
Absolutely, yeah, the gangster mafia movies, it is. And it's a genre that you always associate with America, even though, you know, gangster mafia movies are everywhere. Like there's great English gangster movies like Get Carter or Long Good Friday. There's brilliant Japanese gangster movies. We've even had a crack at it ourselves over here, you know, with The Courier back in the day, which didn't do terribly well. But I always associate it with America because obviously the gangster experience, the mafia experience certainly is an immigrant experience in America, you know, born out of bootlegging and all that kind of thing, you know. So it's very, I always look at America as the place for really good gangster movies, you know.
Larry, you're more niche about this because for obvious reasons, it's the Boston mafia movies that you're a fan of.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, the Godfather, Goodfellas, all those films, they're irreplaceable. They're iconic in many ways. I think that the Boston Irish movie genre had kind of sprung up as a response to, I suppose, the Italian sort of stories, which were really set in New York. I think a lot of producers and writers, et cetera, saw something of a gap in the market there. And certainly there is a fascination in the United States and I think in this country with the city of Boston, with the characters and all the interplay between law enforcement and organized crime, the interplay between politics and organized crime. And the reality with so many of these films is either they are real, that is, they're based on actual events, or they're pretty damn close to what happened back in the day.
Of course, with Boston, it's more intriguing because it's very much a community feel when it comes to Boston. It's smaller, so people know each other. Law enforcement know the guys who they should be chasing, right?
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at a film like The Departed, for instance, you know, where they showed the very close stupid ties between organized crime and somebody who was in the Massachusetts State Police, that's not fiction. That's reality. I mean, that's what actually happened in the city of Boston in the 1970s, 80s, and 90s. So it's a reflection of a very different era and a very different time.
Well, look, we're going to focus on a couple of issues here around the mafia films. And one of the best parts of a good mafia film, Brian, is the nicknames. I'm going to take a clip from Goodfellas from 1990.
There was Jimmy and Tommy and me, and there was Anthony Stabile.
How you doing?
Frankie Carbone. And then there was Mo Black's brother, Fat Andy.
How you doing, buddy?
Freddie No Nose. And then there was Pete the Killer, who was Sally Balls' brother.
I took care of that thing for you.
And you had Nicky Eyes.
What's up, guy?
And Mikey Francesi.
I saw that guy. Yeah, I want to see him.
And Jimmy Two Times, who got that nickname because he said everything twice, like...
I'm going to go get the papers, get the papers.
Remember that. So Nicky Eyes, Freddie No Nose, Jimmy Two Times, Pete the Killer. That's a bad one. That's not great, is
Pete the Killer. Now, what does he do for a living,
exactly.
I wonder? He's not Pete the
Plumber.
How did
he get that nickname?
Well, that's it. It's easy to give them all nicknames based on kind of, you know, what they did and what they were good at, you know? Like one of, like a great mafia film, Once Upon a Time in America, starring De Niro. De Niro's character's called Noodles. That's his name. Now, why he's called, not a very great mafia name, is it? Noodles. But if you think back to the early ones, like Scarface, for example, he's called Scarface because he's a scar down his face. Little Caesar, played by Edward G. Robinson. And like back in the early days of gangster films, I think what's kind of interesting is that in the very early gangster movies, the gangsters were always portrayed as like folk heroes, almost like Robin Hood characters, you know? They were products of their environment, products of their upbringing, you know? They tended to be not quite good guys, but kind of anti-heroes, right? But then what happened was, in 1934, Hollywood brought in what was called as the Hays Code. And the Hays Code was a strict kind of code that was brought in, a moral code brought in to show filmmakers the way to make films, right? And in many ways, it was like like sex was banned, you know, so couples now had to sleep in separate beds on screen. And if they're in their bedroom and they're in separate beds, one of them had to have their leg on the floor, you know. And one thing that they did in particular with the Hays Code, this is all true. One thing they did with the Hays Code was about gangster movies. They looked at gangster movies very, very closely. And they said, from henceforth, bad guys in movies, particularly in gangster movies, must be punished for their deeds. They can't get away with it. So that was the rule set up in Hollywood in 1934. And it kind of handcuffed, for want of a better word, gangster movies, because no longer could the gangster be the winner. No longer could he get away with it.
Yeah.
No longer could he be the hero or the anti-hero. He now had to be the bad guy. Mm-hmm. And he now had to be punished for his crimes. And from 1934 until about 1966, when the Hays Code disappeared, that was the case. He was always a bad guy. And I think one of the best examples of a gangster movie, one of my favourites, goes right back to just after the Hays Code in 1938, a film called Angels with Dirty Faces. And it stars, you know, the iconic screen gangster, Jimmy Cagney. So in the early days, you had Edward G. Robinson, George Raft, Humphrey Bogart, and the king of them all, Jimmy Cagney. And in this movie, Jimmy Cagney kind of defined what a screen gangster should be. He had the real attitude. He was Irish-American. You know, he had this say in the movie, he goes, "What do you hear? What do you say? What do you hear? What do you say?" So he had all these, he hitched up his trousers. You know, he had his holster on a gun holster underneath his arm. And he always had the jacket. He was always moving the jacket. So he was a real kind of, you know, a wide boy. And in this film, what's interesting about this is his name is Rocky in this film. You're talking about nicknames. So he's Rocky Sullivan. And he grows up on the wrong side of the tracks, himself and a friend played by Pat O'Brien, who was Jimmy Cagney's real life friend, actually. And as they grow up and get older, Rocky becomes a gangster and Pat O'Brien, the other character, becomes a priest. So they're on opposite sides of the track, obviously. Now, eventually, Rocky Sullivan, who's admired and adored by the people of New York, this is another one that's set in New York, particularly young kids, they absolutely adore the guy. He gets caught and he's going to the electric chair. And very famous, the priest, played by Pat O'Brien, comes to him and says, "Do me a favour, go out, yell it." He says to him, "Go out crying. Do not show these kids you're a hero." And he goes, "Can't do it, Father. I'm going to spit in his eye. You know, I'm going to go out like a hero." And he goes, "Please, please, please don't do that." So Cagney, who had portrayed a lot of gangsters up to that point, was afraid of getting typecast, but he took the role because of this. And like, it's not giving anything away because the ending of the film is well known now. But at the end of the film, when he's been taken to the electric chair, he suddenly breaks, drops down on his hands and knees. And in silhouette, you see this fantastic shot. It's directed by Michael Curtiz, who directed Casablanca. And Cagney grabs onto the guard's legs and starts to scream and cry for his life.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know if he's doing it for the cop, so the kids don't admire him anymore, or if he actually broke. And later on, when the cops, when the kids go up to the priest, they go, "Tell us it's not true, Father. Tell us he didn't turn yellow." And he goes, "He did, kids, you know." And he goes, "Let's say a prayer for the guy who couldn't run as fast as I could." And so it's a classic gangster movie where he gets punished for his crimes. Yes. He has to get punished.
Yeah.
But Cagney set the benchmark for what a screen gangster should be in
that
movie.
That's great.
Oh, have you ever seen it?
It's a fantastic movie. And I don't like to see a code, but one of the things that troubles me sometimes about the gangster genre, the only holdback is I'd have is sometimes the really gratuitous, over-the-top violence. I really have a difficulty with that.
Yeah.
So for instance, in Goodfellas, some of the scenes I just find very tough to take. And even The Departed, you know, some of the killings at the end, I just thought it was a little bit much for me. What I do like to see, and I think with that film, which is an amazing film, I'd highly recommend it to anybody, is that little bit of redeeming quality or something there about the human spirit that's there, that's, you know, maybe the person's a bad guy, does lots of stuff, but there's something redeeming. That's what I always kind of look for.
Yeah, I agree with you on the violence, and I often have to look away too, but they're part and parcel of the genre, I suppose.
Well, actually, talking about violence, like in that movie, we're just talking about Angels with Dirty Faces. Talk about violence. They actually, in some of those scenes where Cagney's dodging bullets, they were shooting real bullets. So back in the 1930s, blanks and swabs were really expensive, but real bullets were cheap. So they actually used to fire real bullets during those gangster movies.
Goodness.
Actual bullets.
So listen, Larry, you've mentioned The Departed. The Town and Mystic River, how do those two, in your mind, compare to The Departed?
Well, I would prefer The Town out of all three of them, to be honest with you. But Mystic River, just on the nickname front, there's a great nickname in Mystic River. There were so many guys in this fictional neighborhood in Boston who were called Ray. And they were called Silent Ray, Skinny Ray, Irish Ray, Italian Ray. And then there was one called Just Ray to distinguish him from the rest of them, which I thought was brilliant. Mystic River is a very, very dark,
that's a hard watch.
Grim film, written by Dennis Lehane, who's from Boston. a very famous crime author. But the town is about the neighborhood of Charlestown, which since, I should say, has been gentrified beyond all recognition. You couldn't get a two-bedroom apartment there for any less than $3,500 a month. But back in the day, it was a working-class small enclave where, in many quarters, robbing a bank was almost a rite of passage. And the town really encapsulates that culture that existed within Charlestown, as well as something of it known as a code of silence, where nobody ever ratted out on anybody, no matter what. And there's even a famous scene in the movie where they're sitting there saying, raising a toast to a guy who's doing 20 years in jail, all because he wouldn't give the law enforcement what they wanted. Mm-hmm. So it captures really kind of that moment in history, that moment in a city that I think is long gone. But I think
I was going to ask you that. Is it long gone? Is that over now?
That is long gone. I mean, if you look at, you know, people here would have both personal experience of neighborhoods like South Boston or Dorchester or Charlestown, and when they were gritty, when they had lots of character, when there was this kind of underbelly that was there that wasn't so nice, but in many ways had great character and great places, and a lot of Irish spent time there, and close-knit and families, et cetera, and long-term residents. That has changed a tremendous amount. Gentrification has taken over. A lot of those people have moved well away from there. So the fabric of that those neighborhoods is gone, but I think they're captured marvelously in these films, and I think that's why so many people are so fascinated by them.
Yeah, and keep going back to them as well. Now, we want to talk about one man, Robert De Niro, next. You both picked what could be described as lesser-known De Niro mafia films, Once Upon a Time in America and A Bronx Tale. And then, of course, there is Godfather 2, the best mafia actor of all time. No? Will you? Well, Jimmy Cagney is your guy.
Jimmy Cagney or Bogart were there way before him, I think. But yeah, definitely De Niro is superb, and he really encapsulates that whole Italian-American, even though actually he has Irish roots, believe it or not, Robert De Niro. But, you know, he's often cast in that role. Godfather, the first Godfather, obviously he wasn't in the first Godfather, but he's in the Godfather Part 2. He wins the Oscar for playing Vito Corleone. In fact, there's a bit of movie trivia for you. Two actors who won the Oscar for playing the same character. Hasn't happened before or since. Actually, it has once, and I think it's Henry VIII is a character where both, or two actors have won Oscars for playing the part. But Vito Corleone, Marlon Brando wins it for playing it in the first Godfather, and Robert De Niro wins it for playing it in the second Godfather. Mm-hmm. So De Niro's brilliant. I mean, he's brilliant. The second Godfather is epic. The first Godfather is equally as good. They kind of fall off by the third one. But again, that came back. So the first Godfather was made in 1972, and that came at a time when this code is long gone in Hollywood. So there's a chance to show mafia guys as almost noble, you know, almost honorable people. And it becomes epic. It becomes a massive, big, you know, epic sprawling tale over multiple timelines and many countries. And it also gives a sense of where these guys came from. You know, so it goes back to Sicily in the films there, and it shows, you know, the product, that they were a product of their own, of their society. Once Upon a Time in America was different again, because that was a Jewish gangster mob, which you don't often see in films. So De Niro in that doesn't play Italian-American, he plays Jewish-American. And that's directed by Sergio Leone, the guy who did all the spaghetti westerns. So again, as a foreign director, bringing a very different take to America, but also looking at the immigrant experience. And that again is a sprawling epic, which is over 4 hours long. But De Niro is brilliant in that, absolutely brilliant in it.
And Larry, what about for you, the Godfather movies, when you compare them? Do you have a best Godfather? The Godfather or The Godfather 2?
I think the original. I don't think you can beat the original. I think it's an extraordinary film at every level. So, no, I love it. And just you mentioned A Bronx Tale there. I have to get a plug in for it because it's lesser known. But in terms of that morality play, and I suppose some goodness and some redeeming qualities in the arch gangster in that movie, it really is there. And Robert De Niro, I should say, is a bus driver trying to steer his kid along the right track in that film. And it's a great performance. I think the critics didn't like it. I thought it was a terrific film.
Okay, could you please give the name of that Jimmy Carter movie again, or Cagney movie again? You've sold it well. It's Angels with Dirty Faces, and it was made in 1938.
Yeah.
The most underrated gangster film, says this listener, is the French film A Prophet.
Yeah, which again, there's a whole genre of French film. I mean, all those French New Wave guys and all of those actors, Jean-Paul Belmondo and all that, made a career out of playing French gangsters. So there's a whole genre of French gangsters.
And Paul is listening, and he says the classic Coen brothers, Miller's Crossing, it has the Irish, the Italian and the Jewish dimension. Does that belong in the best of, would you say?
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely.
Definitely. I put Miller's Crossing in the top 10. Absolutely. Yeah, it's great, great. And it's great to see so many brilliant Irish actors in that. But yeah, that was a brilliant, brilliant gangster film.
Right. Listen, we'll leave it there. We'll come up with good nicknames for you both the next time. But for now, it's Larry Donnelly and Brian Redden. Thank you both very much indeed. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.